I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma this past weekend with a friend. I was there to give him support through a difficult time in his life. And on Sunday, he said he wanted to go to Mass at a nearby parish named Christ the King. We got there early, and a group prayed the rosary before Mass. It was nice for a change, me being Mike and not Deacon Mike. I didn't have to answer any of those questions before Mass or make sure the liturgical books were turned to the right pages or look at, over the intentions. I was there, and I was just another guy in the pew. So it was nice being able to meditate before Mass and prepare for the Mass in a different way. The church, Christ the King, was a beautiful church. And they had these five enormous stained glass windows on each side of the church. And it was so interesting. Each one depicted the image of a king who was either in the Bible or played an important role in the Catholic Church. The first three on the right were the three kings, Balthasar, Melchior, and Gaspar. I'm sure you remember the story from Epiphany Sunday. They brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the baby Jesus. And then there was Saint Stephen of Hungary, who led his country as king to embrace the Catholic faith during the 11th century. And there was Melchizedek, who was a king and a priest in the Old Testament. And then there was King David, who we heard about in our first reading. He was anointed King of Israel. My mind was going while I was meditating for Mass, and I thought, you know, all these kings and saints were good men. And I thought for a second, and I know it was a silly thought, but I thought, couldn't the Catholic Church give Jesus a little better title than these guys here? And then it came to me. Christ is a king. He has a kingdom. His kingdom is here on earth. And me and you, all of us, are here to continue building his kingdom. I just love the phrase from St. Paul in our first reading. He speaks of the movement that has brought us from the power of darkness to light, into the kingdom of the Father's beloved Son. With darkness, there's no growth, there's no life. It's like putting a house plant in a dark closet. We can fertilize it and water it, but it's going to die without light. In that reading to the Colossians, Paul is talking to a group just like you and I. He's telling them that there's an amazing king out there. He's going to lead us on a journey out of darkness to light. The king's name is Jesus, who works in a mysterious way. And his kingdom is also mysterious. His kingdom is set up in a way that at first look, it doesn't look logical or practical. It doesn't seem to be effective. Yet at the end, if we follow this king, it will always result in redemption. We are always in the process of participating in our own redemption, a process we might call the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus redeems us. He brings us from the darkness to light. And that's the image we saw in the reading from Samuel, bringing us back victorious. Jesus does something so that we're able to deal with all the things life has given us. And in dealing with those things, these challenges, we grow, we change, and develop. And it might be a divorce or an illness or a loss of a job or that adult child that continues to make those poor choices. With these struggles, we grow, and we become the person deep inside that we're called to be. This is what it means to be redeemed, to be guided in a way that keeps us from falling into pieces in life struggles and challenges. St. Paul goes on to describe this king who redeems us. He says Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the best clue we have to who God is. He is connected to everything. He's the head of everything. Everything was created through him and for him. Paul's description of Jesus goes to the point that it makes this concept hard to grasp. And we might even ask, what is he talking about? People for centuries have pondered these words and have not come up with a clear explanation. I believe that it is because it isn't clear who this great king is. He's beyond anything we can imagine. Yet, unlike the kings in those beautiful stained glass in Tulsa, Jesus is not clothed in royal garments. He doesn't carry a sword or have gold and no palace to live in. Just like his kingdom, at first look, Jesus doesn't seem as if he's a king. He doesn't seem to be effective in today's standards. In our gospel, the image of Jesus nailed to the cross and everyone yelling, "Why don't you save yourself?" It's very distressing. Yet, one of the thieves hanging on the cross next to Jesus, he also asks, "Why don't you save us? Why don't you save yourself? Why don't you help us?" All these statements ironically fail to recognize that Jesus was already doing something to save himself and them. In fact, to save you and I. And it's so interesting that the only one in the story who understands this is one of the thieves who is crucified next to Jesus. We call him the good thief, and he defends Jesus and says, "We deserve this. What are you doing mocking this man? What we have to pay for this, for what we have done. He has done nothing wrong." Jesus wants to reward that good thief because the man understands the work of salvation. He offers the good thief and all of us here the gift of eternal salvation. Jesus knows that he doesn't look like a king in this world's eyes while he's on the cross. But he knows there will be a moment when everything will be a lot clearer. The moment of clarity that he is truly the king of the universe, it arrives at the resurrection. And this is the moment Christ's light shines so brightly. Brothers and sisters, I know my darkness. You know your darkness. I know the light I long for, and you know the light you desire. You and I both know the place we long to be, and we can see it, but we haven't arrived there yet. The kingdom is all about getting to the place we long to be. Let us begin this new liturgical year in Advent with the words of the good thief, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."